this is Bobby Hill, and I produce and host the Thursday edition of Thursday Late Night Jazz from 11 p.m. until 1 a.m. And you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. I am Mark Levine sitting here with
Garland Nixon.
And somewhere in the wilds of Oregon we have
Terry D. Kester, and the D stands for Sagacity Beyond Washington.
D doesn't stand for sagacity. Should we tell him, Garland? No. Should we let him know how to spell sagacity?
Are you sure? You've been hanging around Dan Quayle too long.
No wonder I've been losing at Scrabble.
Clearly. We are the Raucous Caucus, and tonight I want to talk about, the debates. I know this is a sore subject for many people on MSNBC. Were about to commit harikari. I don't know if you saw Chris Matthews.
He went ape crap, shall we say.
He was not happy. A lot of people weren't happy. I want to find out, gentlemen, what your thoughts were on the debates, but also on the broader question, not just the debate that happened and the upcoming debate Thursday between Paul Ryan and Joe Biden, but the overall question of how do you deal with a liar? And I want to take this outside the question because we have a candidate in Mitt Romney who has now changed his position on at least 20 different issues, and everything from taxes to cap and trade to abortion, on everything from gay rights to Medicare to education and teachers. And he simply says whatever he thinks the people listening to him want to hear, even if they are completely different things from what he said just a week ago.
So, it's kind of like a cheap date, isn't it?
His motto is, it's hard to hit a moving target.
Well, that's exactly right. It is hard to hit a moving target. So the general question, and hopefully these are things that our listeners can join in as well by calling in at 202-588-0839 and let
us know. It's not 0839.
No.
It's 0893.
0893.
That's it. Try to confuse the listeners. Way to go,
89.3 FM. Yes, excuse me. Yes, I know where we are in the state. 588-0893.
Like 89.3 FM.
FM. Yeah, there is no 83.9 on the
202-588-0893.
Anyway, but y'all can join in the second half of the hour and let us know what you think in general about the election, about the debates, about how Obama and Ryan are doing, and Romney and Biden. And the overall question of how do you deal with someone who is constantly changing his position? Because here's my view, and I'm going to let you gentlemen see what you think. I think that Romney absolutely knows what he's doing. I don't think this is accidental.
He's no dummy.
I don't think this is George W. Bush or Sarah Palin who may accidentally say something completely foolish. I think this is a guy who absolutely knows what he's doing, and he knows that the vast majority of the American people don't know he has a $4.8 trillion tax cut for the rich. They may have vague notions that he helps out the rich, but they don't know the specifics of his plan. They don't know the specifics of Obama's plan. And he feels like he can say whatever he wants. Fact checkers be damned, and he's just going to put one over on the 3 to 4 to 5% of the American people who are undecided, who, let's face it, tend to be, if you're undecided in this election,
you tend to be
a very low information voter. This is exactly what he said in the infamous 47% video. He even says very clearly that, 47% aren't going to vote for me. They're moochers. They're awful people. They're victims and so forth. But the 5% in the middle, he specifically says this. He says they don't follow policy. They only vote based on emotion. So he thinks that simply all he has to do is say whatever he wants, and if the people don't understand the details, he wins. It's a pretty the Machiavellian way to win, and President Obama, to his discredit, didn't call Romney much on it during the debates, though he did, of course, the day after. So, Garland, let me ask you, will this strategy, can it prevail? Will it prevail? How do you stop it?
Well, number one, let me just say on the debate, one thing was very obvious. I don't think President Obama could have defeated me that day on the debate because he looked so tired. He looked like he was reaching for his cup of coffee. He kind of reminded me of, when the Mike Tyson fight when he got knocked out, and he was the infamous picture of him reaching for his mouthpiece when his mouthpiece got knocked out. He was just kind of sleepwalking. And I think that whatever preparation they did, they didn't recognize you have to be wide awake and you have to be well rested. And this guy really looked tired. And he looked like he just wanted to get this thing over. But
I've often thought, just real quick, I've often thought that the night before something happened, there was some crisis in Mongolia or something, and they woke him up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
We don't know, but yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if I find out a year, 2 years from now when Bob Woodward writes his next book,
you're right,
that there was a phone call at 3 in the morning. Something went wrong.
The other part of it is this. The other comment I like to make is this. Keep in mind, with Mitt Romney, this is not just about changing his positions here. He just flat out said anything. It didn't matter. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to do a tax cut. Sure, huge tax cut. Are you going to lower taxes for the rich? Nope. It's going to cost $4.8 trillion. What are you going to do? No, it's not going to cost a dime.
No, I care about the middle class, he said.
Yeah,
he said in the debate.
Penny, what are you talking about?
The rich people don't need my help. And
I'm surprised.
Who's the socialist up here?
Yeah, he ran to the left of, he went back to the guy who was running to the left of
Obama.
No, he ran to the left of Ted Kennedy, remember?
Yeah, well, that's
so
true.
So here's a guy who has the dubious distinction of having run to the left of Ted Kennedy and
the right of Rick Santorum.
To the right of Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich.
Which takes a lot of talent, guys. You've got to give the guy some credit. That takes a lot of talent.
So how do you deal, Terry, in general, with someone who blatantly lies and knows that very few people are going to take the time to prove that he's a liar? How do you deal with that? How should Obama have dealt with it?
Well, the first thing is you got to have a gimmick. I mean, I don't care what anybody says about facts. This is showbiz. You got to have a gimmick, you know? And he should be, there you go again, Mitt. I mean, it's got to be something like that because he does lie. There's an excellent article this weekend in the New York Times by Paul Krugman, and just pointing out all of the lies, the very specific lies in the medical care issues. I mean, he just went way out of bounds with lies on that. And, Krugman doesn't pull any punches. He calls him a liar. And you can't probably do that on the debates, but you sure as heck can say, some kind of catchphrase like, there you go again. Even use that. Who cares?
Can you call him a liar, Terry?
Use it again.
Terry,
the other thing is, I agree with Garland completely, and it worries me. I remember also, when President Bush, II ran for office as a second term, he never looked like he wanted the job. And it is my opinion, this is sort of beyond the issue, but it is my opinion that the job is simply out of control, and it is beyond the capabilities of any one human being.
But you're not saying Obama doesn't want to be reelected.
I'm saying that he's so tired. I agree with God. He's so tired that his heart may not be totally in it.
Ooh, wow.
And
he's tired.
In fact, I hate to say it, Mark, but I will. I hope you want to raise the money on the bet we got on who wins.
It's a dollar.
It's a dollar. Outshone him.
Well, no, wait. We currently have a bet for a dollar, Terry. I bet Obama wins. You bet Romney wins. You want to raise it to $3?
Oh, I don't know, a couple thousand.
I don't have that kind of money to bet, and I know you don't, Terry.
Well, wait a minute.
I'll make it five.
Right,
I'll make it five.
I was going to have to turn to crime again.
I'll make it five, but that's my final offer.
If Mitt Romney was here, he'd bet you $10,000.
And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
So where are we? $3? $5?
$2.
All right. He's doubling the bet. Down to $2.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I hope I'm wrong.
Let me say this, Garland. I think, sorry, Terry. I know me disagreeing with you is a rare and unusual event.
But don't hold yourself back.
I think there's a huge difference between Barack Obama being tired for one night. Maybe he was woken up the night before. Mm-hmm. Maybe he did have a late night dinner with Michelle because it was their 20th anniversary.
Yeah, probably didn't help.
Drank a little wine. I don't know. But there's a huge difference between saying that and saying he doesn't want the job, that he's tired overall. Tired one night and tired overall. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a very different Barack Obama in the next debate. I think we're going to see a very energetic Barack Obama. Frankly, 2 days after the debate, he was out on the trail saying very strong things. This may actually be a wake-up call.
Put yourself in his shoes, guys. Can you imagine flying around the country, jet lag like crazy, appointment after appointment, people shaking your hand all day long, while somebody is whispering in your ear, hey, China's really screwing around in their oceans, and they're building, intelligence systems here in the United States. Can you give us a minute?
And I think Syria had, fired some rounds across the border
but
that day into Turkey.
That's true. But you know what? I'm sorry. He's president of the United States. He's got to be able to walk and chew gum and do about 12 other things at the same time. We expect our presidents to be better than your average human being in handling these
things.
Which
is unrealistic.
Well, no, I don't think it's unrealistic to expect the president of the United States to be able to wake up at 3 in the morning, deal with China, and still hit the ball out of the park in the debate the next day. I'm sorry. I think
The basement?
The park.
Oh, the park.
That was a baseball analogy.
But whatever the case, bottom line was, it was apparent that he was tired or whatever. He wasn't there mentally and emotionally. No. So the question becomes, that is what it is. So the question becomes, what now? And Mark has a good point. How do you deal with a person? Because here's the thing about it. You can't prepare for Mitt Romney's positions because he has them. Because
he has all of them.
Right. Good point, girl.
You know, you can't say, okay, when he says this, we'll say that. Because God only knows what the man's going
to
say.
He needs to call him a liar without using the word liar.
That's what I mean by the gimmick. He's got to be something that just plants it clearly. Every time he comes up with one of these crazy phrases, he's going to, not cut anybody out of insurance, which is an absolute lie. when he repeals the Health Care Act.
Here's the thing. All right, I saw the debate. I actually saw it in a group full of Democrats, and at the time I tweeted a lot at Mark Levine Talk, if you want to read all my tweets during the debate.
Oh, good heavens.
That's my little plug. But here's the thing. Because I was tweeting, I was listening to the entire debate, but I wasn't necessarily watching, seeing the video. And I actually didn't think Obama did that bad a job. He actually specifically said, and I remember him saying, there's this guy who's running for 18 months, and now 5 weeks before the election, he says, never mind. I thought that was a good line. The difference was, I really think it's not necessarily the words Obama said, although clearly there were things he should have brought up, the 47% and Bain and all this stuff. But it was the nonverbals. And as someone who
absolutely
was busy listening more than watching, and I'm reminded of the fact that in the Kennedy-Nixon debate, everyone who listened on radio thought Nixon had won, but everyone who watched on TV was sure Kennedy had won. Because I was listening more than watching, because I'm busy working my phone and tweeting, I actually think that I thought it was a tie. I actually even thought Obama won the debate at the time.
The medium is the message. There's no question about that.
Here's the thing.
He's got to accept that, and he's got to know that his people have to know that.
But it doesn't really
matter what you say. It matters how you look and how you
exactly
sound.
So here's my point. When Obama calls Romney a liar, and he probably won't use the L word, he'll use some euphemism for it. I think it's very important. If I were Barack Obama and someone like that were delivering that message to me, what I would do is take like a double take. Like it could be acting. I don't care.
I don't think Obama could do it.
Do
a double
take, and then maybe stand back and just say wow, and have a big smile on his face, and even a laugh, even like an involuntary, although of course it'd be voluntary laugh.
The wow part I like.
Like
Mark. That's
wow,
good. I like that.
Wow,
I can't believe that
you have the gall to stand up here and say something that's exactly contrary to your campaign, and then he actually used the visuals. I have a platform in my hand. I printed it out this time, Mitt. I didn't print it out last time. I printed it out, and you say in your platform that what you said just now was completely wrong. So I don't know who's here tonight. I don't admit wrong. But the point is, do it with laughter, not with anger. Do it with a smile, not with a frown. And that attitude will make all the difference in the world.
Well, I'll tell you
what else he has to do that's really crucial, and this is very hard to do, I think, for Obama. It is hard to do for most people except those of us on the Raucous Caucus. Is he's got to be spontaneous, and he's got to be able to adjust to all of the stuff. I don't mean adjust in terms of facts and figures against what Romney is saying, but exactly what we're talking. He's got to play off of it, which means it
and
doesn't
enjoy
do any good
it.
If Romney makes some outrageous statement. For Obama to go back and just give facts, and numbers does not accomplish the purpose.
Right. You got to have some fun.
It's
with
showbiz.
It. Yep. Well, Terry, which brings to mind something else about their preparation. If you're going into a debate knowing that you have no idea what this guy's going to say, just throw out all of the history of everything he's ever said because you have no clue. It's today, it may be brand new all over again.
Right.
I think your preparation is you go in preparing what you're going to say on the points that you want to make, and then preparing when he does it, have an angle, this is how I'm going to attack him. Because you know he's going to do it, so you say, this is what I'm going to say, and decide beforehand when he goes out to the moon and says, when he turns into Houdini, he's going to do everything, it's not going to cost us anything. Exactly what you're going to say and hit him with that repeatedly.
President Obama, I know that you get 89.3 FM in the White House. We have a very strong 50,000 watt signal. It's very, very clear in the White House, and I know you listen to the Raucous Caucus every Tuesday night. So, Mr.
Apparently he didn't listen to it before that.
Well,
no,
Mr. President,
we should remind him that Dick Cheney did listen every night for different reasons, but he did listen.
Well, that's just because he's tracking you, Gar.
I know.
But Mr. President, let me give you a suggestion. It is free. You don't have to pay me all that big money that you paid all his campaign advisors. Free, unsolicited advice. When Mitt Romney comes up with his new and improved tax plan that's completely different from his other plan, not only do you say wow and have a big smile on your face and maybe a chuckle or two, but you say, wow, this is Mitt Romney 6.0. You know, 6.0. The first five times he had one thing, but now this is the new Mitt Romney.
Paul Ryan actually walked out of an interview.
Oh, yeah, I know he did. He walked out of an interview.
Tell us about that, Terry.
Yeah, but it was in Michigan, and it was just going on straight, a normal interview, you know, what are you going to do, what's your plan and all that. And Paul Ryan's going on pretending like he's Mitt Romney, but, you know, he's going to do this and all these social services. And he's playing the compassion part. He really is.
Yeah.
And he's going through all the services they're going to do, and they're going to take care of people because they love people, and it's all under one God, and we're all a child of God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the guy finally asked him, you're going to do all of that and cut taxes?
Uh-huh.
He walked out.
Wow.
He got ticked off and walked out. And then, of course, his spokesperson accuses the media of bias again.
How dare you? Truth is bias. Holding them to the truth.
I mean, the simplest question in the world. You know, you're going to do all that and cut taxes?
And the question was this. You're going to do all that? Yeah. How are you going to pay for it? How dare you ask me that?
That's right. Yeah.
For God's sake.
And then he walked out. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that he would actually do that.
The interview had gone on long enough, and it was the agreed upon time, and but they'd actually gone over time, and it was time for him just to leave.
Speaking of Paul Ryan,
in other words, he blew it.
Speaking of Paul Ryan, this Thursday is the debate between Paul Ryan and Joe Biden, the vice presidential debate. I'm really looking forward to it. I actually
think
both Joe Biden and Paul Ryan have more personality than either Obama or Romney.
Yep.
Sorry, Mr. President. But first of all, I'm a big fan of Joe Biden. I always have. Joe Biden reminds me of that huge Labrador retriever that when you walk in the room, jumps on you and loves you and slobbers all over you and might knock a few things over, but does it out of the most wonderful love and wags his tail. And that to me, that's Joe Biden because he's all heart. And he's so much heart that he makes a few mistakes. But to me, that comes through. He's irrepressible. He can't hide that love. And to me, you know, versus Paul Ryan, who's sort of the Ayn Rand specialist, he's faking compassion versus Mr. Real Compassion. I'm really looking forward to that debate. What do you think?
Me too, because these two guys are so different. It's like having one of the three Stooges there up against Anyway, you get the idea.
Yeah.
The point is, I mean, he really is different. Anybody that, you know, does any study of Biden and studies his life, I mean, really knows that, you know, with the tragedies that he happened, you know, with his wife dying, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And his kids.
He really is an honest, basic human being.
Yeah,
he doesn't,
he's a great guy.
He's not a man of pretense at all.
No.
He is not posturing. He's not faking one single moment.
He can't. In fact,
you got the real guy there.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, Paul Ryan, for whatever his flaws, I mean, he's kind of real in his own context, too.
Oh, yeah.
The difference to Paul Ryan is that Biden can express all that compassion for the middle class and working class people. He means it, and he knows he has the support of the president. Paul Ryan, all his ideas, which are Ayn Randian and virtue of selfishness and screw the poor and cut, you know, end Medicare, end Social Security, he really believes those things, and yet his boss has told him, don't talk about the things you really believe in. So you have the unconstrained Joe Biden able to do whatever he wants against the very constrained Paul Ryan who has to act against his type.
Let me go back to his budget plan all the time, because basically Mitt has sort of bought into that, you know.
He will
go back to that no matter what the question is. It's going to be supposedly about foreign policy. He'll go right back to the budget and the money things. Trust me on that.
Well, here's what I think Joe Biden has to do, and I think this is the way you take out the real right-wing radical individualist. I think Joe Biden, rather than go after the person, I think he has to go after the values behind those positions. Because those are not the values that most people out here can identify with. They may look at Ryan and say, well, he looks like a regular guy. He looks, you know, he talks, he sounds like he knows what he's doing, blah, blah, blah. So to go after the individual, you know, it could be counterproductive. Yep. I think, and don't go after the policies, because the policies are so, you know, they're so amorphous. I mean, look, if you go after the policies, they'll just say they're something else. What are you going to do? We're going to take all the money from the poor so we can help the poor. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what they say. But forget all that. You cannot hide the values behind what you're doing. And that's what I would say. Go after the values. Remind America what the values are. Remind America what's behind the policy, not what the policy is, but what's behind it, what produces it, how you have to think in order to believe that's true, and ask, you know, America, do you think blah, blah, blah?
And be himself. I mean, you know, he's one guy that when he is himself, it works. It just really, really works.
It does. Now, listen, people argue that Joe Biden make fun of him on Saturday Night Live and elsewhere. It's a gaffe machine. The reason Joe Biden does gaffes, what is a gaffe? A gaffe is when you tell the truth in a way that is impolitic.
Right.
And Joe Biden is a truth machine as well. He will say what he really believes even when it's impolitic, and that's how he gets in trouble.
You know, I mean,
but
he's almost as good as we are, guys.
His mistakes tend to be truthful things that are impolitic. And, you know, I say let him go, because to me what was lacking in President Obama's performance last week was the emotion, was the heart.
Yep.
And like I said, Joe Biden, he's all heart. The man is all heart. I want to ask you both, though. So let's say Romney Ryan 7.0 comes out. And Joe Biden gives this wonderful, tearful speech about the middle class, about working people, about growing up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I mean, I can hear it already, what he's going to say. And Ryan says, no, Vice President Biden, I want to help the middle class. I'm all for helping the middle class. I'm for reforming Medicare so it doesn't go bankrupt. I'm there because I know how much people depend on it. My mom uses Medicare. I mean, I can almost see the rewrite of Ryan's speech. Romney and Ryan are all about the middle class. We're not about helping the rich. We're all about the middle class. How do you respectfully call out a phony? Who wants to take this first?
All you got to have is a few pockets of facts. And I don't mean facts and numbers, but simple things like, okay, you know, that's very nice of you. We appreciate that. And one of your solutions seems to be, you know, this voucher system. And we know what that voucher system is. That basically is private funding, private investing.
I just call it a coupon. That's what I call it.
Yeah, coupon.
It's a coupon for a little bit off your medical care.
The point is, it's going to be, you know, based on like a 401(3) or a 401(k) or whatever. It's going to be based on that with your voucher, you see? It's going to be like a little savings thing, an investment kind of thing. And therefore, you are at risk to whatever the hell the market does. And when the market collapses and you lose half of your money, you ain't going to have any health care. Just simple little pockets of story facts, not numbers. Numbers do not communicate. It's got to be story facts.
Yeah, and I think you got to ask America. You know, I think he has to say when Ryan says, "Well, we're going to convert Medicare. We're going to change Medicare. We're going to strengthen it. I think you have to say, "Well, America, I have to ask you." He wants to turn Medicare into a voucher program. You get a voucher for a small amount of money.
Coupon. A coupon
that you can go up to the insurance companies and say, "Here, will you give me health insurance for this?" And if they say that's not enough, the rest is out of your pocket.
And they're never going to say it's a double coupon day.
And say to America, do you believe this man lowering this to a coupon that you may or may not get coverage for? Do you think that's strengthened?
One of the things I find fascinating.
No, it's not. It's weakened.
With regard to Medicare, is how they're blaming Obama for cutting $716 billion that was going not to beneficiaries, but to the profits of health insurance companies, hospitals, and other providers. What's fascinating is the Republicans are complaining. They took $716 billion out of Medicare. That's Medicare out of the pockets, admittedly, of health insurance companies, out of the pockets of large hospitals. Some of them will charge $120,000 for the same operation that they'll charge $1,200 to somebody else. 100 times, I was just reading about this in the Washington Post, that they'll charge 100 times for the same operation, one person of another. So it's true. Obama has cut the profits of the people that have been raising health care 10% a year at a time when in all the rest of the world it's increasing at the rate of inflation. Okay, but it doesn't go to beneficiaries. It doesn't harm beneficiaries. What Ryan wants to do, and Ryan, by the way, supports the $716 billion. Romney says he doesn't. Instead of cutting the benefits to healthcare providers, he wants to cut the benefits to seniors.
Right.
He wants to cut the benefits to Americans. So,
and to Medicaid.
And to Medicaid, which, as we know, not only cares for the poor, but also for the disabled, and also
it's
nursing
cruel.
Nursing
it is literally
homes.
Cruel. One thing that Mitt did really good, and I think somehow or other Obama and Biden should pick it up, is Mitt brought in the word moral. So, you know, it's already been said, he brought in the word moral, and there really is a moral dimension in this. And so for those few moments where Biden really has to get serious, I think he should be using that. Just simply saying, this voucher system, it's immoral. It's going to punish people.
Yep.
It's going to, and then, you know, the whole idea of cutting Medicaid, that's immoral. Think of what that's going to do to disabled people. You know, the people that don't have any money, the people who are stuck in a nursing home. Think of what that's going to do to them.
That's exactly.
Is that what you want, Mr. Ryan?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Terry. Use those kind of words. Go after the morals,
yep.
The values, and use yep. the word like values. The Americans have different values than that. We don't have those kind of values. And when he says we're going to strengthen it, say, no, you're not. You're going
yes.
to weaken it. You're going to destroy, you know, use words like, you are going to destroy Medicare.
But see, then
you
what happens?
You know what I mean?
Garland, sometimes, though, you get the, you lie. No, you lie. No, you lie. I mean, Romney, as he was making his lies, the first thing he did, one of the earliest things he did, is he did this story about, well, I remember my sons would not tell me the truth, you know, joke line. So he is preemptively accusing Obama of lying.
Obama should
so
have said.
So that when Obama lies, when Obama says, Romney, you're lying, it just becomes a he said kind of thing.
Obama should have said, well, the apple don't fall far from the tree.
That would have been.
Buddy.
Bingo.
There's no question.
Wonder where they learned that. That would have been a great response. Oh, my God.
To help these guys out.
That would have been a great response. I'll tell you something, though. Terry, you're right about numbers. You know, here there's a $5 trillion tax plan, and Mitt Romney wants to cut $8 million to Big Bird to PBS. And no one seems to understand that was, you know, one, I forget, maybe it was 800 million, whatever it was. It was less than I remember it was 1/40,000th of his tax plan.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah.
Well, how you pay for it? Well, I could take 1/40,000th of it.
Yeah.
And I cut subsidies to Sesame Street. One more thing, though. I want, so President Obama, I know you're listening to the show. Let me give you a little bit of suggestion as someone who's done some TV, and I know we all have.
Come on, you get by on your dimples. Let's face it.
Well, but you know what? How I show my dimples? I look into the camera. If you notice,
this is important.
President Obama did. If you look at the split screen, you will notice he was always looking off to our right, to his left, to our right.
Or looking down. Which was bad.
But people have talked about the looking down. They haven't talked so much about the looking to the right. The reason he's looking to the right, if you look at the camera placement in Denver. Looking to his left, which was our right, that was where the audience was. That's where Jim Lehrer was. He was speaking to the audience. He forgot one of the most basic things in television.
Speak to the camera.
Screw the audience. You don't need to worry about the 1,000 people in Denver. You need to worry about the 60 million people behind that camera. And
you know, the other showbiz point, which is really valid, Mark, just like what you're saying, and believe me, I know this as a director, there are different emotional values to the positioning of people on a stage. And Obama should insist, and I hope they have the sense to it. If I recall correctly, in the first debate, he was on the left side, and as we're looking at the picture, and Mitt Romney's
on
the right.
No, he was on the right. He was on the right.
Yeah. Simply because of the way Western people read, which is the way we track information visually, left to right,
it
is more powerful. It is warmer to be on the right side than it is on the left side. The left side is slightly threatening because it's not in our natural position of looking, except we have to go to it all the time, but then we go back to the right.
Terry, we have to take a break. But, of course, he was on our right as we were looking at the camera. Folks, if you want to call in, now's your time to join in the Raucous Caucus, and I know y'all can be just
raucous as
we are.
We're going to get to some calls right after this.
202-588-0893. Join in. Tell us where they went wrong and where Obama and Biden can go right coming up in the next debates. We'll be right back right after this.
Hi, I'm Andy Shalal, owner of Buzz Boys and Poets and Edenville Restaurant and chairman of the Circle of Excellence in Radio. Perhaps you're interested in playing a larger role in support of WPFW. The Circle of Excellence is a group of listeners who contribute $1,000 or more a year to support the station's programming. Circle of Excellence members are making an investment in public radio that so many in our community rely on. They want to make sure it will be here today and tomorrow and for all who listen, even those who can't afford to make a contribution right now. If you would like to increase your support to WPFW and join the Circle of Excellence, please call 202-588-0999, extension 344, or visit us today online at WPFW.org.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. This is Mark Levine with
Garland Nixon
and
Terry D. Kestner. Let me just correct one thing. I was speaking in terms of stage right, stage left from a theater point of view.
Okay, all right.
But, Obama needs to be on stage right, which would be house left.
You're saying he needs to be on the left side of our TV screens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
From the Snagglepuss point of view.
But for all we know, he just lost the coin flip because we know he lost the coin flip because Romney got to go last.
Mm-hmm.
They even said that Romney won the coin flip, and the best thing to do in a debate is to go last. There were whole new things that Romney brought up in his closing speech. He didn't bring up in the whole thing before, as he basically flip flopped on everything he'd ever believed in.
Believed in?
He just made. Yeah, I was about to say, Mark.
He probably never believed in anything.
You're right. Yeah.
Fair enough.
He just made everything up as he goes, like he does every day. Just think, you get up every day,
and you're like,
it's a brand new world. What are your positions today? I don't know.
What do you
freedom.
Want me to say?
That's his definition
that's right.
of freedom.
What do you want me to say? I'll say that. Okay. One thing we should, though, recognize as people, as liberals and progressives, is that whatever Mitt Romney says, whatever he believes, if he believes anything, he's not going to be able to differ from the right wing of his party. And the reason we know that is during the primaries, he tacked as far right as possible. I guarantee you, he will follow and do whatever the Tea Party says once he becomes president. The man has no backbone, Republican Party controls him. All right.
I disagree with that.
Really?
That's one of the reasons I think he might pull this off, because, this is not a weak man. This is not a weak man.
Well, no,
it really isn't. He may be,
floating
lines and everything else, but do not underestimate this man.
No, when I say he has no backbone, I don't mean he's weak. I mean he has no morals, no principles, nothing he really stands on, except that he wants to be president and he wants to make a lot of money. Now, those are things
he really cares about.
Well,
yeah, he stands on those.
Well, yeah, but those aren't policy positions.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. If he wins, he's going to want to win again. And from day one, he's only going to calculate, what do I need to do to win in four years?
No,
the whole 4 years is going to be on any given day. Well, what do I need to say today to win?
I suppose so. All right, let's get to our callers, 202-588-0893. Mason, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening. Here we go again. The Obama cheerleaders, y'all got your pom-poms swinging. That's all y'all doing is talking about Mitt Romney.
We told you
Mitt
he looked
Romney
tired.
Mitt Romney and Obama is the same people. They got the same policies. They're white supremacists.
Obama's a white supremacist?
Boy, is his wife going to be shocked.
Y'all got your pom-pom swinging, and y'all disgrace the WPFW. What happened to WPFW, progressive PFW? Y'all a bunch of phony cowards.
Wow!
White liberals and Uncle Tom.
I'm a racist. I'm a racist too.
Garland, you're a white liberal, and Obama's a white supremacist.
No, and I'm an Uncle Tom because I support Obama.
No, you're a white liberal.
I'm a white liberal.
Apparently,
Terry's the Uncle Tom.
Mason needs to come.
Mason needs to come
visit us at
Ben's.
And you'll see that whatever Garland is, he's not a white liberal.
No.
And Mason, that almost sounds like hate.
It's anger. He's an angry man.
And that kind of hate and anger, I worry about that, whether it's in his case, in a right-winger's case. Life ain't that simple, my friend. Ain't that simple.
None of the three of us have said Obama's perfect. We staged an Obama intervention, I remember, a year or two back. Garland, you just said he was tired. I mean, look, none of us are saying Obama's perfect. But there is a comparison here. There's a race between two men.
And yes, there's no question that all three of us prefer Obama to Romney. But none of us have said Obama's perfect. But calling Obama,
I've been railing against Obama for 4 years. Well, I'm not going to take Mitt Romney in place of him.
But calling Obama a white supremacist, that's
pretty good. I gotta give him credit. That's creative.
First. That's creative. Yeah. I've heard Kenyan Muslim socialists.
Right.
I've never heard white supremacist apply to.
Well,
Barack
you know,
Obama.
I kind of suspect Mason's called with a few different names.
Maybe so. All right, let's go on to Zach. Zach, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hey, Zach.
Hey. Give me a second here. I think if you let Mason articulate himself a little bit more, you would have talked about the prison industrial complex and how it's just targeting poor people. You never hear Obama talking about the poor people in prison, or the people that have been murdered in Iraq and Afghanistan, Somalia, with the drone strikes. Now, the upcoming vice presidential debate, I think, should be really interesting because you're going to have no mention of the drones or Bradley Manning. And that video is shocking. Have you guys seen it?
No. But I wouldn't expect them to mention that. Would you expect them to mention that?
Here's
why.
They agree
Bradley
on the drones.
Bradley Manning has been indefinitely detained.
Yeah.
And this video shows illegal murders of journalists and people pulling up to help people brawling on the street. A man is driving by with his children in a van. The van pulls up to help these people, and they continue firing.
Well,
it's an absolute shame, and this is not mentioned in the mainstream media. You have to get off of the left-right idea, and I mean, the show that sees you, Democracy Now!, they presented other candidates that actually have solutions.
No,
you know,
actually...
Zach, you're exactly right. And you know, if you've listened to me long enough over the years, you know that I have my heart and my mind in the same place as you do. Not Mason's, but the same place you do. But at the same time, right now, in the real world today, whether I like this world or not, whether I hate the military-industrial complex or not, right now it's between Obama and between Mitt. And there is a difference.
Let me just say,
maybe all Obama will do is just chip at the military-industrial complex, but Mitt Romney has already said he'll give them any damn thing they want. You've got to make a choice today about what you want tomorrow.
It doesn't matter. Each one has been given $1 million by Goldman Sachs and is in the pawn of the military complex. The drone strikes that Obama have done are completely illegal. He goes into any country and executes people.
Wait a minute.
People.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Because you said something, and I want to challenge one thing you said. You said something, and you just brushed it over. You said this. I mean, you can ramble on and all about the similarities, because I'm not going to dispute that there are similarities. You're not going to get any dispute between the three of us that there are similarities. But what you said was, and this is where I'm going to dispute it. You said it doesn't matter. The last time I checked the Supreme Court, and they were putting through things like Citizens United, it really mattered who was president. So let me ask you that. Are you saying it doesn't matter who is president regarding the Supreme Court?
I'm going to say that Clinton deregulated enough to allow financial collapse.
You didn't answer my question. You're changing the subject. You're changing the subject. I ask you about the Supreme Court. You're changing the subject.
Zach,
I ask you about the Supreme Court.
We agree with you that there's similarities. Will you agree with us that there are differences?
A tiny bit. But these are bought off judges. Too.
But you're changing it. You're changing it.
No.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
He said he agreed there's a little tiny bit of
difference.
Well,
thank you.
That's
thank
right.
You.
That's what you said?
It's not enough of a difference. It's not progressive enough. People are being put in jail for no reason. They're for growing plants. It's insane. The whole debate is sponsored
by suggest this to you, Zach.
By all these companies,
with all of Zach, with all of Obama's faults, with the military-industrial complex, at the same time, with Obama, there has been a general restraint in using our military power. Yes, what we use is horrible. Yes, drones are horrible.
Stop torturing
that.
For all we know.
There's been a general restraint. He has worked hard to create an international community and international support, as he did in Libya.
There's
Mitt Romney will launch this country in war in a heartbeat.
Continuing shooting yes. of people in all sorts of countries is just
crazy.
Do
you want Mitt Romney
okay,
in there
but,
in charge of it?
Yeah,
Romney will do better.
Yeah, and here's the other
thing. Hold on, Zach.
No,
you think,
I'm not saying Romney will do better.
Okay.
Jill Stein. Jill Stein has actual policies that will help poor
What difference does it make? What policy?
In other countries not being
What
murdered.
Difference? Here's my question
so,
to you.
So let me ask you this. If you vote for Jill Stein,
And your vote in a state like Virginia, I don't know where you are, Zach. Can you tell me what state you're in?
I'm in Virginia.
You're in Virginia. Okay, no, hold on. Virginia. No, listen, hold on, Zach.
One at a time.
In Virginia may very well decide the election. You know what? If you're in D.C., I'd say vote for Jill Stein. That's fine with me. I don't care.
The election is
You may not care. But the people who voted for Rahm... One at a time. Hold on, Zach.
Zach, one at a time. We're having a conversation here, Zach. One at a time, okay?
You may not care. But let's face the fact that the people who voted for Ralph Nader in New Hampshire and Florida gave us George W. Bush as president. Now, if you believe, as those Ralph Naderites did, that they would rather have George W. Bush as president than Al Gore, then they were right to vote for Ralph Nader. If you, by voting for Jill Stein, are saying you would rather have Romney as president than Barack Obama, then that's fine. We don't care what your views are, whether you're Republican or whether you're far to the left, if you vote for Jill Stein, you are, particularly in a state like Virginia, which makes the difference. You know, Virginia may well make the difference. If you are happy with that difference being Romney as president, then that's your choice as an American citizen. Just know what you're doing.
It's your choice that you're allowing murder to happen, and you don't care.
Who said I didn't care?
Let me throw one other thing in there, Zach, and I'd like you to think about this. And I know, again, Zach, you listening?
No, he's not listening, he's talking.
You know I have never shied away from any of these issues. You know I have used the label fascist, and I believe firmly that this country is headed towards fascism if it's not already there. I guarantee you one thing, Zach, if Mitt gets there, it's going to go faster and more thoroughly and more completely towards fascism. If Obama is there, there will be hesitation, there will be some restraint, and we might make some change.
And let me add this, Zach. For a lot of the positions you said, when you said it doesn't matter or there's not enough difference, let me just add two words. To you, there's not enough difference. You know why? Because you're not on Medicaid. If you're on Medicaid, there'd be a hell of a big difference to you.
If you were getting food stamps,
there'd be a huge, if you were surviving, eating and getting your health care from one of these programs that can keep you alive or not, you would know to you there'd be a difference. So you're not surviving off of this, but don't tell the people who are surviving, who are barely scraping by alive, and one guy's saying, I'm going to snatch everything you have and let you drop dead. You can go to the emergency room if you want to. I don't care what happens.
Don't. What Obama is giving you. He's not giving
no, I'm talking. This is not about Obama. Obama, this is what I'm saying.
I think we should get some other callers in. I think Zach's opinions have been interesting, but I think we should move on.
Okay, let me thank you, Zach, for your call.
Thank you.
Let me just say this.
We've had a better debate with Zach. I mean, you know, he can't claim that he wasn't heard.
No, that's true.
That's a fact.
I'll tell you this. President Obama has done financial reform. May not have gone as far as we liked, but a lot better than the way it was before. Obamacare didn't go as far as we liked, but a lot better than it was before. Whether it's the stimulus, whether it's the Lilly Ledbetter Act, helping women get equal pay for equal work, whether it's ending debt, don't ask, don't tell. There's a lot of things I wish Obama had done. I no question about it. But it's a lot further than was done before and a lot further than George Bush did and a lot further than Mitt Romney would have done.
Some of the things that we fear the most.
That's true. That's another thing. I mean, I imagine. So again, all I could say is if you're as far as drones, let me say this. The Congress passed a law that you can disagree with under George Bush. In fact, my boss at that time, Congressman Barney Frank, voted the other way. But the law approving the war in Iraq, the Congress under a Republican president and under a Republican Congress authorize a lot of the things that Obama's doing that Zach complains of, the drones and so forth. If you don't like them, the right thing to do is have someone run against Obama in the primary, Dennis Kucinich or anybody else. Get a progressives elected to Congress right now. There are progressive people running in the Senate. I guarantee you in Virginia, Tim Kaine's a lot more progressive than George Allen, who, frankly, I think is a racist. I mean, anybody who wears a Confederate flag pin in Southern California, I think so, too. So let me just say this. If you vote for a third party and Romney wins, you better be happy with that choice because I frankly haven't forgiven the people who voted for Ralph Nader in New Hampshire and Florida in 2000. All right, let's go on to Doc. Doc, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi, Doc.
You know, I wasn't going to call, but between Mason, who I thought was Nathan, and Zach, you made excellent points. Let me just hit on 2 points. I doubt if it's going to make any difference. You know, I'm an ex-soldier. In America, what would you call it? A citizen soldier. You know, you're a regular guy. You go in, you realize you made a mistake getting into service. So when you talk about people getting killed, and by the way, I was a medic, which means when somebody gets shot, you know, I have to go out and deal with that.
Yikes.
And you've got no conception. I mean, you can go outside with Ben's next door on 12th Street, walk 4 or 5 blocks away from that, and you may see people that are nodding off from heroin. You may walk up on the 7-Eleven on 13th Street at 2 o'clock in the morning. You may get shot that somebody's been shot in the belly or knifed in the belly. So I understand murder. I understand shooting. I understand violence. But the points, two quick points that you were making. During the convention, I can't think of her name. I think her name was Steele. We had a young mother talk about her 4-year-old daughter who, thanks to Obamacare, was getting treatment.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was looking at the Huffington Post, and I looked at a kid who was 12 years old, and he was writing a letter saying, Mitt, congratulations on winning the nomination, but I wish you had stayed in Massachusetts because I like Obama a lot better, and Obama's working. The point you made, you know, when I was 30, it didn't matter to me who got elected. I mean, well, let me take that back. It mattered, but basically, I've said this before. I had a nice house. I had a nice car. I had a nice girlfriend, and I mean, I felt strongly in my gut, but I still, it didn't matter whether Reagan or Bush the first gets in, I still have a nice car, I still have a nice house. A few years later, I'm married. Now my daughter or my stepdaughter is sick, and guess what? As Mark said, and Kerry said, and Garland said, now it matters a whole lot.
Yep.
That I can get help. I can't look at my, that talks about murder and drones. But as you said, where's his mother who's laying in bed dying, who needs this help? Where's the guy who he listens to on the Metro bus, who's not just telling a story, but who actually makes a connection and say, gee, if the little bit of money that I get from Obama, or the fact that maybe Obama is too weak to do anything, but at least by God, his heart is in the right place, and he's not a liar, and he doesn't want to take from me. I mean, you know, the naivete and stupidity, you're handing it to these people, man. You're handing it because, it, as you said, it doesn't affect you. Evidently, you don't have a cousin, a friend, a girlfriend. You don't work in a daycare center. Wherever you are in Virginia, you must not see poverty, sickness. Your whole thing is the drone strike. And for that, and you know something? Maybe you should vote for Mitt Romney because I guess Romney won't do drones.
I guarantee you, Romney will do drones. I guarantee
no, he'll
Romney
do carpet
will do,
bombing.
We'll do drones. Doc, let me say that was eloquent. That was so beautiful. I didn't want to say another word because you were just, that was, I have nothing to add except more power to you. That was better put, I think, than actually either Terry Gallen or I put it. Thank you.
And I hope Zach and Mason were listening.
I hope so too. Thank you very much for your call, Doc. That was beautiful.
Mason would call him an Uncle Tom, of course, or a white supremacist.
A white supremacist, probably. All right, let's go to Yuchi.
That's a real step down,
oh,
too.
Oh, my God. Yuchi.
I must say, I've never been called a white supremacist.
That's your
before.
First time, Doc.
That's
probably, the first
probably
for everything.
Last.
All right, Yuchi, welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys? You know, I wasn't going to call, but I hear the guy. What's his name, Hanson?
Mason.
And then the guy after him, and then this guy that just preceded me. Yeah, I think the problem is I think Hanson hit on a point. You know,
Mason.
This program is losing a lot of popularity because it seems like while the Republicans are heading hell-bent toward the right and the ridiculous extremism, it seems like you know a lot of you guys are heading toward the left with ridiculous extremism, and everybody makes these elegant reasons why you know we're right and they're wrong and they're wrong and we're right. I think the guy Hanson had a point. He's angry, and I think he has a good right to be, because just as politicians talk past issues, I think that's what you people are doing. Yeah, you can think that, and this last guy, he's got some points. The things that concern him are good. But I tell you what, when there was a Jim Crow and apartheid in this country, okay, and when people had to make immediate sacrifices for a long-term goal, there were people that were doing the same kind of thing you were doing. But what about right now? You know, what about this moment? You know, we don't have big thinkers. You know, we have, like, little crab scramblers. Everybody wants to deal with right now. Obama insisted, his White House insisted on that Defense Authorization Act of 2012. Look, if you could talk about Romney all you want to, that scares me to death. And it
me
was
too.
A black man who did it. Granted, he has no slavery ancestry, but you would think he'd have enough sensibility to understand that. So while you're all arguing that there's this significant difference between the two, there always are differences. The question is, what kind of pain and do we want? Will the Democrats beat us with a stick full of rusty nails, or the Republicans beat us with shag wire?
Thank you for your call. It's someone similar to what Zach's been saying. Look, none of us have argued that Obama's perfect. None of us has argued that he hasn't done anything wrong. But to say there's no difference, I just think. Yeah,
well, you know, and it realistically, and he said, you know, what we like or who we support or who's right or who's wrong. With me, it's simple as this. I look at the two options, and the one that is ideologically closest, ideologically most attractive to me, I'm a left-leaning person, and I'm going to vote for the candidate that leans the furthest to the left. That's what I'm going to do every time. I don't care what the name of their party is. Whoever leans furthest to the left is, in all likelihood, going to get my vote.
202-588-0893. Real quick, Terry, because I want to go on to the next caller.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I mean, the question, too, is, I mean, at least the Democrats, with all their flaws, and I accept most of them, they're serious flaws, I'm not dismissing any of them, but there's not an ideologically destructive state of mind that is, they are unified behind, be it no taxes or whatever. And that's the difference between these two parties. The right wing is ideologically destructive.
And it's going further to the right now.
You better believe it.
All right, let's go on to Paul, I believe, is next. Paul, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Yes, I think one big thing that's missing in this conversation is movement. When civil rights was passed in this country, who was in Congress? We had Dixiecrats in Congress.
Yep.
Okay? And that was one of the most progressive legislation passed in the history of this country, but it came
led by LBJ.
The fact that we had movements in this country. This idea of where people are dwelling so much on the electoral process is if it means something. And it really doesn't, because it's controlled by big money. Both parties got their hands out collecting the big money. Just this week, they talked about Obama and how much money he and the Democratic Party collected. Do you really think it came from the $25 donations and $15
actually
donations?
It did.
But no, what is your point about movements?
Big money donations.
What is your point about movements? I want to know what your point is about movements.
Okay, my point I'm saying is this. The last time people in this country voted for what they wanted rather than voting against what they didn't want, because what you all are suggesting is vote against.
I can't recall that.
You're not really saying vote for Obama.
I say vote for
Romney
Obama.
Is so much worse that you need to vote against Romney.
I didn't say either.
But let me ask you, what is the alternative at this point in time? What are you going to do between now and voting day in the next 20-30 years?
He wants to be angry and he wants to yell, but you don't want to do anything to make this country be a better place. Let me ask you, what are you going to do? Are you going to overthrow the government? I want to know what you're going to do to make this country a better place.
Voted for what they wanted was when they voted for McGovern.
But what's your alternative?
How did that work out?
McGovern isn't running.
How did that work out?
Even though McGovern lost, we got the EEOC, we got the Clean Water Act.
But Nixon was far to the left of Mitt Romney.
We got the end of the draft, not because McGovern was in office, but because there was such enough critical mass of people.
Oh, I couldn't disagree more.
What he's saying, and I agree totally, it is the people here, because there's no people involved in the movement, and there's no people creating a movement,
Terry,
and there's no people looking at what's really going on in this country. George, I agree with him 100%, but what are you going to do? My question to you is, caller, what are you going to do in the next 20 or 30 days when it comes up Election Day? You
what
can boycott because you think the system is rotten, and I think the system is rotten, but I'm not going
to
boycott.
Organizing and trying to continue to build a movement.
I think that's great.
Whether it was the rights movement, whether it was when I was in the Black Panther Party, whether it was when I worked for the United Farm Workers Union, whether it was when I was working with the anti-apartheid movement, whether it is the fact
build
that
a movement.
I was going on in the Congress.
That's a wonderful
vote
thing.
For Obama on November 6th.
I will stay in the movement, and I will still be actively involved. But again, we need to vote for what we want and stop voting for what we don't want.
That's
voting against what we don't
want. Well, you know what? Then everybody out there, vote for yourself.
And you'll go and you'll vote for yourself, because the only person who agrees with you 100% is yourself. Mitt Romney will win the election. Let me tell you something about George McGovern, all right? Because I, you know, George McGovern lost in a landslide. He won only Massachusetts and the District of Columbia, and Richard Nixon won. And the things that you like about Richard Nixon, let's face it, Richard Nixon is to the left
of the gubernator
of every Republican who has run ever since. Richard Nixon would be considered a leftist and a socialist by the Republicans that you are going to help elect, Paul, if you don't vote or if you vote for the Green Party. If you live in D.C., go ahead. Vote your preference.
There's a bigger difference that he's touching on, and there's a bigger difference. It's not that Nixon is to the left or not more left than Mitt Romney. The difference is there's no movement. The people aren't involved. And as long as the damn people are going to sit back and watch waste their time watching the debates instead of getting out there and doing something and getting to the streets and not worrying about occupying, who cares? Unless they really start to do something like this gentleman as an activist, as a former Black Panther did, then nothing is going to change.
I'm all for organizing. But there's a difference between organizing and telling people electoral strategies that will elect a right-wing conservative Republican who will appoint Supreme Court justices that will keep us in chains, Biden was right, for the next 25 years.
And here's the thing about it. You know, the question is, it's always in life, what is your point of focus? Are you focusing on the vote, on the date of voting, or are you focusing on what happens as a result of the vote? If I'm just saying, well, man, I want to feel real good and I want to focus on the vote, I'll vote for the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. I loved Abraham Lincoln. I'll vote for his ghost. I might as well.
He wasn't perfect either.
Well, yeah, but hey, look, you know, I mean, look, his ghost has as good a chance of winning as Jill Stein.
That's true.
So if I'm going to vote for Jill Stein, I might as well choose the ghost of Lincoln. I thought he was a pretty cool guy. I studied Lincoln.
All right, I want you to get to, we got two more calls. I'm going to get to both of them before we hang up. So, Vincent, you're next. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not really a political activist or anything of that nature. From what I can see from Romney and from what I can see from President Obama, well, President Obama is doing the best he can to try to get things done. Romney's trying to do the best he can to get things done. But I'm going to vote for President Obama. I'm not one of those hardcore sticklers about this, that, and the other. I'm looking at what can be done. President has been trying to do his best to get things done. You all can say yay or nay and give me the information. I'm going to make this brief and short. I think the president is doing the best job that he can without his hands being tied. I don't know nothing about politics and that reflection, but I do see a president trying to do the best that he can to get things done. When I saw the debate, Romney was getting a little irritated, a little agitated. People said Romney did real good. President was sitting back going, looking at him going like, I don't think you got the facts together, but I'm not going to buck your heads right now. I'm going to sit back and take notes, and I'll talk to you in about another 2 debates.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Vincent. I appreciate it. I don't hate to cut you off, but I want to get to our last caller, and it's our first woman caller, and I want to give her a chance to say her piece. Karen, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful.
Exhausted. You know, I am African American, and I voted the last election because I felt that Obama was the better of the two evils. And I just think that it is time. I'm telling you, I'm certainly going to vote, and it will be for a Green Party candidate. I think we need to wake up. Our system is flawed under Obama. You talk about our civil rights. Our rights have been eroded. He has put in legislation that has, in effect, essentially said that the government could at any time tap our phones or
arrest you.
You know, just decide.
You could be arrested by the military.
You know,
Karen, what state do you live in, if you don't mind my asking?
I live in Maryland.
Well, let me say this, Karen, and I'll say this.
But it wouldn't matter.
Let me say
it wouldn't
this.
Matter in Maryland, you're right.
And I said this when President Obama...
It wouldn't matter what state I lived in. I think it's time for the people.
But Karen, let me ask you this.
And I got a statement I want
to... Stop talking about alternatives.
But if you voted for the Green Party and Mitt Romney came in power and he repealed the Lilly Ledbetter Act... And you're prepared to accept women getting unequal wages and people losing Medicare and Medicaid.
I think it's the only thing that will if anything will wake Americans up.
So you think, so let me ask you this.
That she's willing to accept the devastation.
That he will create.
All right.
And he will create. To me, the difference is whether I'm going to go to hell fast or whether I'm going to go to hell slow.
Well, here's the thing about
under,
it.
And you know,
let go and respond to
jail with a cushy pillow.
Let me make a comment.
We got to make some quick points
here.
Garland, go ahead. And I got to wait one point. I like what Karen's saying.
Go ahead, Terry. You go first.
Okay, it's simple. What she's saying, and there's a lot of truth in it, whether we'd like to admit it or not. We're not talking about politics. We're talking about social energy and social issues. Things have to get a hell of a lot worse before people start really demanding change. Mitt Romney will make the things a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, but you know,
and maybe that's, and you look historically, that's what has to happen for people to get off their damn butts and realize what corrupt the country is. I like Karen.
Go ahead, Garland.
Let me say this. If you say, well, if things get really, really bad, then they'll get better, but there's no evidence to support that. There's no evidence to support if things get really, really bad, that things won't just get really, really worse. Just because you say there'll be a rebound effect, well, if they go all to holy hell, then they'll get better. No. If they go to holy hell, they'll be going to holy hell. They may get worse and bottom out.
Let's just say this. Sometimes devastation leads to more devastation. And there's lots of examples in history where countries have gotten worse and worse and then just gotten even more worse.
Let me ask you a question. Do we really want devastation?
Apparently, Karen
does. And that's like saying this. You know, we want to go to New York. How are you going to do it? We're going to start by walking towards Chicago. That's going to get us. The way to get where we want is to walk in exactly the opposite direction. Well, I've never seen a time in physics would argue against that.
It's been a great debate, but our time is up. Terry, our time is up, Terry.
But, you know, you guys are younger. You weren't there during the civil rights movement, so and you weren't, you know, old enough to be part of it.
Terry, our time is up.
It did make a big difference how ugly things got and how powerful a couple of leaders were.
Well, things are going to get uglier if we don't get off the stage.
That's true. And I actually think Martin Luther King and Thurgood Marshall took their time step by step in civil rights. But that's an argument for next week, Tuesday at 7 p.m. every week. We are the Rock.